Welcome to the Whitwam Wealth Real Estate Podcast. Today, our topic is No Money Down, Investing with Other People's Money. This is part one of a four-part series. In this first part, we're calling Seller Carryback.
Welcome to the Whitwam Wealth Real Estate Podcast with Scott Whitwam, your blueprint to financial abundance. Settle in as we explore the mindset and methods for wealth building through real estate.
Welcome back. I'm Scott Whitwam, and today we have a topic that I always like to discuss, and it is no money down real estate investing. I mean, how can we use other people's money to leverage our real estate investments? You know, any of the principles that I discuss today as they relate to single family residences, and that's what I'll be using while I use my examples and I talk today, but they can be used in multifamily, commercial, industrial, agriculture, and so on. Principles can be applied to any investment because they're the supporting foundation, the framework that underlies everything for our real estate investing. The things that'll change will be like scope, document, values, and so on. You know, these are the mechanisms of framing that build on our principal foundation. So when I first got started, I had no available cash. I wanted to start investing in real estate, and I had no mentors, I had no coaches, and I had no money. There was no internet, there was no way just to go out and watch videos of stuff. I found a property that I was able to purchase with no money down. If I purchase a property but have no money down, this is the ultimate in using other people's money because somebody else has invested 100% of carrying the investment in the transaction. And I want to focus how to use seller carryback financing to do this today. And this can be full owner financing or partial owner financing. This can be a great option for real estate investors who want to purchase a property without having to make a large down payment. Sometimes it's necessity and sometimes it's just part of our systems and plans for how we are investing in real estate. So let's dive into some of the details and how we can utilize this strategy to grow our real estate portfolio. Okay, so the way no money down seller carryback works is it's pretty straightforward. The seller has no underlying mortgage. That means there's no loans and there's no title encumbrances that we have to deal with. If the property is encumbered by a loan of some kind, then I typically use a different strategy when purchasing those properties with no money down, and we'll cover that in a later episode. So essentially, with seller financing, the seller of the property acts as the lender and finances a portion or all the purchase price of the property that we're acquiring. In our case, we're looking for the seller to carry 100% of the purchase price. And that this means that you as an investor buyer don't have to secure traditional mortgage or come up with a large down payment, and hopefully no down payment at all. No down payment, in my opinion, is always the best. There can be some drawbacks to negotiating 100%, seller carry financing. That is that the seller will generally, or maybe I'll just say not always want to give just 100% financing without receiving something in exchange for carrying the paper back, especially with nothing up front. And this can include some restricted terms like maybe short balloon payments, higher than average market interest rates, stepped advances. But the fact that you are fully leveraging the property with the strategy, investors can acquire properties with minimal upfront costs, potentially increase their returns on investments. And that's really what it's all about. That's why we're in this. But let me be clear about this. What a seller requires and how good you are at negotiating with sellers will really determine how favorable the terms are or the terms that you get along with any no money down transactions. I get asked, why would a seller provide 100% financing to me as an investor? And that's a perfectly legitimate question. But a seller might offer 100% seller financing to you as an investor for several reasons. One, they want the streams of income for retirement or supplemental income. For them, the monthly money coming in is more important than a lump sum. It could be maybe they have a potential of avoiding capital gains. Maybe they've earned some revenue this year, and if they took cash out of this property, they'd be hit with a high capital gains plus their income tax, and they're just not in a position to do that. So maybe potentially they want to push off their capital gains on this property. Number three might be that they get a better interest rate than they could with the cash if they ended up getting it from you and then putting it in a savings account. The money that you're offering them every month on the seller carryback is much more attractive than maybe a savings account or a CD rate. And so for them, waiting is better. Seller may believe that they're getting a better sale price than they otherwise would from a cash investor. And maybe they've had some cash investors come in and basically bottom feed trying to pick up the property for little or nothing. And you come with a seller carryback option or proposal that gives them a little bit better sale price, and they like that. The other thing may be a quick sale, and it gets the expenses out of their name and off of their books so that you're taking over the property taxes, you're taking over all the utilities, all of that stuff, and it helps them out in their money or their monthly budget. You know, whenever we're negotiating a no money down deal, it's important to make sure that the numbers work. Like any other property we're trying to acquire, don't get so focused on the seller's willingness to carry back that you give up terms that don't make the numbers work in the end. You know, people do that at auctions all the time. They're so excited about the auction frenzy that they forget about, you know, where they need to be in the end, and sometimes they pay too much. Well, we don't want to do the same thing. We don't want to be so focused on the fact that we got seller financing that the numbers don't work at the end of the day. Unless, you know, you're like I was when I got started. When I started out, I didn't have any money. So I would have been very flexible on any terms as long as at the end of the day, I didn't lose, you know, money on the deal. You know, when you don't have any money, a lot of times you're like, oh, you want more interest? Okay, I'll give you more interest. You want a balloon in 2 years instead of 3 or 5 years? Well, okay, well, I don't have any money anyways. So, you know, you're a little bit more flexible. Investors need to be a little bit careful and consider, you know, the terms of the agreement. Conduct thorough due diligence. You know, and if you're new, I always suggest that you consult with a real estate investing coach to get a second set of eyes on the deal before, you know, pulling the trigger. I mean, that's always important. You know, sometimes you can miss something when you're new and just getting started at this, and so it's really good to have somebody else be able to discuss the deal with, maybe even look at the paperwork. But let's first address seller carryback or seller financing of the full purchase price. You know, I've already talked a little bit about some of the motivating factors that'll make a seller want or at least be willing to do a carryback of the note. But I've yet to ever find a seller who is offering seller carryback financing. They normally don't put up a big flag and say, hey, I want to discount my property and provide seller carryback financing. The only exclusion for this maybe be on a retail sale in the MLS, the multiple listings system through realtors, you know, because they're trying to offer owner financing generally at a retail price. But I don't like to buy retail. I'm an investor. I like to, you know, buy where the numbers work for my rates of return and you know, and for if I'm flipping, fixing and flipping where my margins all fit. So I've never had one of those MLS offerings who are offering no money down actually work into my numbers, my set of numbers. And so, you know, you're not going to see a ton of flags out there just saying, hey, we're discounting this. This is an investor great deal with no money down. Come buy me. The seller will carry it back. You know, basically just take the keys. So whenever I get, you know, into a seller carryback, it's because I propose it. Sometimes a seller even understands what it is that I'm offering, you know, and what I'm asking of them. And then it's just about the terms. That's really nice. You know, when we find somebody who's familiar with this process, but often we're dealing with unsophisticated sellers. They just don't do this kind of transaction very often. In fact, some or most only sell a property maybe a couple times in their lifetime. And so they're very unfamiliar with a seller carry. So if you make the pitch to the seller with a seller carryback, don't be surprised if you have to fill in some gaps. And my advice is be very clear. Make it as clear as you can to a seller, because confusion and you know, muddiness will make them not want to act. The clearer you can be, the better off you are. You know, you have some negotiating tools, you know, that you can use if you're asking a seller to carry back 100%. And, you know, just depending on the deal, I work on all these. Price may be one of them. Maybe you offer a little bit more for a 100% carry deal than you would if you were paying cash for a property. For instance, you know, if you offered $250,000 cash, but you tell the seller that, you know, they could make an extra $10,000 or $20,000 if they carry the whole purchase, that may be very attractive to a seller. The other thing is interest. You can offer a rate that's over market rate, but maybe under investor rate financing. You know, this may be a great carrot. You can show how much more money that they'll make on the rate that you're offering over what they would make if you paid them cash and they put the money in a savings account or a CD. Offer a short-term balloon for them, 3 to 5 years, so that they don't feel trapped. You know, in this event, they can get access to their money on a shorter time frame. And I've actually had this happen where we've done seller carrybacks, and we've had the seller where we had a 3 to 5 year balloon call us in desperation before that and say, "Hey, I really need the money." And then you can actually renegotiate, you know, the balloon and actually negotiate the deal down. So sometimes, you know, offering shorter time frames on balloons will help. And then don't be surprised if you can even renegotiate that if you need to. If you find out that they're concerned about taxes, this is a good point to negotiate on. I've had sellers who were concerned about capital gains be very, very willing to spread their tax liability over time and be much more receptive to a carryback. If it makes sense, you can get a seller on board. You know, and when you do, this is maximum leverage. And that's why I like it so much. You know, when you can make these make sense, it's a really good opportunity for you, because you're not bringing large sums of cash to the project. So just real quick, let me throw this in. It's not a no money down, but rather a low money down. Sometimes a seller is desperate for a small amount of cash and will do the same deal with little down. And when I say little down, I know it's a little bit vague, but obviously, you know, maybe $5,000 down, or and $5,000 down on a $250,000 property is little down. You know, I mean, $50,000 down on a $2.5 million maybe commercial deal would be a little down. But sometimes you find sellers who are desperate; they need cash. They're moving. They're being relocated. They got a family emergency. And they're willing to do the deal if you can bring a little bit of cash to the transaction. Let's face it, it's a lot cheaper than what your hard money guy is going to charge you or make you bring into the deal, and certainly a lot less than a conventional investor finance deal is going to require you to have in the deal. And so sometimes the low down deal can make the seller carry back work for us. But either way, I kind of hope you're getting my point. Each of these deals need to be considered on their own merit, their own value. You know, with the cash that you have to contribute, or if you don't have cash to contribute, then you got to negotiate with regards to you know, your limitations. You know, next is a little bit of a twist to a no money down seller carry back. You know, who says the down payment must be yours? One of the other strategies I've used is a twist on the full seller carry back. If you discover the seller needs cash immediately, maybe to pay off a lien or a mortgage that's in the rears, it may be possible to leverage somebody else's money. I love this option, as it leverages other people's money, not just by one person, but two people at once. This works really well in the fix and flip environment, but it also can work in the buy and hold. Let's say a seller's bottom line on a property is $150,000, and they have an $80,000 underlying mortgage that is FHA. So here's how I've structured a deal like this before. I give the seller $100,000 down, not my money. The seller provides a seller carryback for the remaining $50,000 and takes second position. Then I would get their FHA loan paid off with that $100,000 and put $20,000 into their pocket. I call my hard money lender and or an angel investor, you can call a private investor, wherever you get the money from, your family, a family member. And I offer the hard money lender first position on a 67% loan to purchase price. The reason, you know, I offer the seller $100,000 down, you know, is because this is my primary hard money lender's minimum. Now, you may be working with somebody and $80,000 may be perfectly fine, but it also gives me this ability on this deal is to use a carrot of $20,000 to the seller, put some actual cash in their hand. But the more that I can get a seller, you know, invested in the property, I like it. But either way, because obviously I don't like paying interest on, you know, the hard money while we're doing the fix up and rehab. But now we've got two people's money leveraged in a transaction. I've got the seller who's doing a carry back. I've got the hard money who paid off the first mortgage. Now the hard money guy's in first position. He's happy. He's getting a very good loan-to-value ratio, so he's well-protected, you know. And there are other sources, you know, that could potentially, you know, do this a little bit differently for you than what you know, my trusted hard money guys. I've done, just done so many deals with them, and they work really well. And for me, that, you know, I get very good rates and financing that I use this. But you know what? You could do the 80-70. And not offer the seller a $20,000 carrot. You know, it's all up to you. If this is a fix and flip, you know, I offer to pay off the seller upon my resale of the property, so they get a very short balloon date. That is also attractive. And also, as I mentioned, you can do this as a buy and hold property, and I would probably structure the deal in the same way, except for the balloon and payoff. In this case, after I had the property remodeled, and had it rented, however I'm going to do that, I would do one of two things. Using the equity that's now in the property, because I've remodeled it, I would refinance either using a conforming loan, maybe I put it into one of the portfolios, or I do a DSCR, a debt service cover ratio loan on the property. And at the time that I do that refinancing, I would pay the seller off. And now I've already got cash flow in the property, so I've got some options because I can take it to several different lenders and go, look, here's the money I'm making on this property. And then whether you want to do a full doc loan or you want to do just a cover ratio loan based on just that property, or if you're a portfolio investor, you may be able to move it into one of your portfolios. It would all depend on the numbers and what made sense at the time, but it's very doable. You know, seller carryback is very doable, and there's lots of options with it. But that's all the time we have for today's episode, this part one. I want to thank you for joining me on this episode. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. This has been Scott Whitwam. Be sure to join us on our next episode of the Whitwam Wealth Real Estate Podcast, the mindsets and methods for wealth building through real estate.